Check, check. Yeah, Kevin revealed a lot more there than I would have liked him to. The Santa Village was kind of a circle of trust in-house thing. No, it's okay. And I only take out the chalkboard at 55 days. It's the day after Halloween. Because that's when it starts. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for this season, God, that we get to celebrate, Lord. Celebrate your incarnation. God, thank you for our families, our friends, and God, just this time of year, Lord, that we do stop and are thankful and rejoice in all that you have blessed us with and all that you have done for us. So we ask, Lord, that you would anoint this time right now. In Jesus' name, amen. But yes, I do get a little excited for Christmas, probably earlier than most. Being a teacher, as Kevin shared, I teach fifth grade, and I'm right in the middle of it. Those kids are almost as excited as I am. Who has an Advent calendar? Anyone have an Advent calendar where you count down the days till Christmas? I have an Advent calendar for my Advent calendar. Take out the Advent calendar. But I do. I this time of year, obviously, is such a magic time and for so many reasons. And that's what I want to share about today, Advent, that anticipation of Christmas and of God and what he has done. And I wanted to go back into my Latin and what Advent means. It means coming. What Advent means. And I wanted to share three different ways that we could look at Advent as believers and what it means to us. The first is obvious what we are doing today, what this is all about. 2,000 years ago, the first Christmas, that first Advent. And like I shared, in my house, the excitement starts pretty early. There's a little touch of it in August. September is there. You see and then obviously the day, that's when it starts, the day after Halloween. But when did it start? When was that first Advent? When did that first countdown start for this Messiah? When did that first excitement, before Jesus came, when did it first start? It started right at the very beginning. I want to read from Genesis 3:13. This is after the fall, immediately after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, and the consequence, the fall of man, was ushered in immediately from what they did. And this is right away we see the first prophecy. So 13 through 15. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Immediately, right after the fall, God made the promise that, yes, it has fallen, but I will send a redeemer. That is pointing to Christ. He will crush your head. He's talking to Satan on the cross. That is the main reason that Jesus came. And that is what he did. But it is not without a cost. You will strike his heel. So immediately, right after the fall of man, the countdown begins. That countdown to Christmas begins. That first Christmas. Thousands of years before it starts. Okay, ours starts in 6 days. The countdown to the next Christmas. This one started right there. And then throughout the Old Testament, one of my favorite things that Kevin does on Christmas Eve, he goes through the entire Old Testament. And he shows where Jesus is in every book of the Bible. It's a tradition. He goes through every book of the Bible, and he sees where Jesus is, because the entire Bible, the entire Old Testament, is pointing to this Messiah. He's in every book. Christ is in every book of the Bible. So that was the plug for Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Free gifts. Yes, there will be some gifts. But I'm looking forward to that. One of the famous prophecies of this coming Messiah, this Redeemer, the Rescuer of man, where God has set the plan to fix it. We messed it up. He's going to fix it. He is going to make sure the worst of it falls upon himself. All of it falls upon himself. The Redeemer. And it's in Isaiah. There are so many other prophecies. These are some of the more well-known ones. Isaiah 7, 13 and 14. Then he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." That was 700 years before the first Christmas. 700 years before Christ came. Emmanuel, God with us. It's what it means, God with us. Moving on to Isaiah 11. "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Prophecies of this coming Messiah. There were hundreds of them. They say the odds of one man fulfilling all of these prophecies. Imagine the state of Texas, filling it up with quarters a foot high. Put an X on one quarter. Throw it in the pile. Mix it up. You got one shot to reach in and get that X. That coin. That's the odds of one person fulfilling all of these Old Testament prophecies of this coming Messiah. And Christ fulfilled them all. Born in Bethlehem, he fulfilled them all. Every one of them. And that's what we celebrate, that first Christmas, when he came. And I love the manger, the scene, the nativity scene that we see. But it could also be, it could be a dangerous thing in some ways, because we see it so often. We see it so often that it just becomes part of the Christmas scene, and we forget what really happened here. That's why I love this story that we did from the other side, from the angel's perspective. It was so cool. The angel's sleeping over here, and my daughter over there slowly removing her entire costume throughout the show. But this was a big deal. This is the biggest event, with the exception of the resurrection. When God steps into his own creation, he empties himself, he humbles himself, and he becomes a man. God with us. Jesus, the Son. God, the Son, has become man. And that is what we celebrate. And like I said, we can forget, oh, it becomes this Christmas card with the manger and the nativity, and we love it. But it can lose its power. We can forget what really happened here. The God who created the universe stepped into his creation. And the rescue mission began. That's why he came. I love Lucy's question. I'll say it. She said, "How could a God who is this big become a little bitty baby?" She didn't say it quite just like that. She said it much cuter than I ever could. How could a God who is this big become a little bitty baby? I cannot answer that question. I don't understand that. And that's, I'm okay with that. I'm glad that I don't have a God that I can put in a box. I understand it. I get him. I don't understand, but he does. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay that I cannot answer that question. But I don't know how he did it, but we could say why he did it. Why he did it, to reclaim us, to rescue us from this fall that had happened, to take it upon himself. I love so many of Christmas carols, and I mean, today we saw it. We were worshiping. We're singing, "Oh, Holy Night." But we were worshiping because they are worship songs. Most of these really good Christmas songs are worship songs. One of a well-known lately is Mary, Did You Know? Who likes Mary, Did You Know? Everyone loves Mary, Did You Know? It's great. Clay Aiken, Kenny Rogers, you name it. There's lots of versions. There's cooler ones than that. But I love some of the lines in that. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? He's talking to Mary. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Again, this incarnation, what happened here is a mystery, but it is such a powerful and the most important event, with the exception of the crucifixion and resurrection. And again, we have to be careful that the Christmas cards can trivialize it. Why he came. He came to save us. He came to save us. I love the last song that they did, written by Lindsay Wallace. She's here. Great song. Where are you, Lindsay? She's in the back. Okay. Hopefully we did it justice. But they were singing up here, Jaden and Avery. The lines, we've been, this is the bridge that they didn't do. We've been expecting the King who would come, the Savior of all of mankind. The Savior of all of mankind. That is why he stepped into his creation. The promise of God has now been fulfilled. This world has existed in darkness until this baby boy. This world has existed in darkness until this baby boy. The rescue mission has begun. There are one of the things I love about this pageant that we do, you know, Christmas specials in our house are a big deal. You know, we don't just throw in Frosty the Snowman on their way to school, you know, before school, eating breakfast. No, that's kind of an event that we're watching Frosty the Snowman in our house. It's on Tuesday night. We're having dinner. It's a big deal. Because when I was a kid, it was a big deal because it was on once. There's no TiVo and DVR and DVDs. You get one shot. I remember all the York Peppermint Patty commercials. Right? And you gathered around the television because when it was over and you don't miss it. So with, oh, there it is. I have them all TiVo'd, saved from last year. But it loses that specialness. But I'm way off topic here. The Charlie Brown Christmas. They do this pageant. They do it. The whole Christmas story with Mary and Joseph and Charlie Brown's the director. And one of the lines, one of the kids says, every year it's the same thing. I always end up playing a shepherd. And they do it every year. I love that. There are characters, though, two characters I want to talk about that were not in the Charlie Brown Christmas. And they don't make it into many nativity scenes. And one is Simeon. I wanted to read from Luke 2. This is 6 weeks later. This is when Mary and Joseph have brought baby Jesus into the temple in fulfillment of the law. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. That is someone who is looking forward to Christmas. That was someone who was looking forward to this coming Messiah. He couldn't wait. And he held him in his arms and says, "Now, Lord, I have seen your salvation. I am holding your salvation in my hands." And now he's free to depart. God has kept his promise. That promise that he made thousands of years earlier, right after the fall, the fulfilled promise was in Simeon's hands. And that's what Christmas is. God's fulfilled promise. It says he was there for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting to be comforted. That's what Simeon was looking for, this Messiah, to comfort Israel, to comfort God's people. This is a time when Rome ruled and King Herod, and it was not a good time for Israel. Lord, when is your Messiah coming? They cried out, and he was crying out for that comfort. And I'm sure he hung on to Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It was not a good time for Israel. They were crying out to be rescued, for the Redeemer to come, for the Messiah. And Simeon held him in his hand. For each of us in our life, going through whatever we're going through, that promise is there for us. God with us. He doesn't stand off of his creation and give you a bunch of rules and say, you better do this in order to earn your way to me. And we'll see at the end, we'll see if you make it. No, he enters his creation and takes it on himself. He did it all for us. He did it. No one's going to walk around heaven saying, look at me, aren't I great? Look what I did. No, it's going to be, look at him. Thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. So whatever it is we're going through, God with us. He stands here, and that invitation is to you, because it needs to get real, which is the second point, and these are much shorter than the first one. The second meaning of Advent, that the same Jesus, again, it means coming. Advent means coming. The same Jesus wants to come into our lives right now. The same Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, wanting to come in. So that it needs to get personal. There comes that point where we need to make that decision. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. We are crying out as Simeon was. And so it's different. In America, it's very different than it was there in that time. It's kind of easy to be a Christian in America. No one's banging at the door. We're not going to be arrested. Now, there is definite persecution, but we're not going to go to jail. And this was a time when they would. Okay, there are times in history and in the world today where they will go to jail. We're seeing it in the news today. We cry out. We know this isn't right. We know that this world isn't right. It's not as it should be. How do we know that? Why do you know that? Why do you know that this world isn't as it should be? Because God has put eternity in all of our hearts. Deep down, we know the way it was meant to be. We know who we were made to be. But the world isn't like that. In our lives, there's troubles in our lives and struggles and tribulations and trials. But God is there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He waits to be wanted. He waits to be wanted by us. Back to Luke 2, back with Simeon. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It isn't all good news. What Christ came to do is sufficient for all of us, but there is something we need to do. It's for the rise and fall. So some, Christ's coming will be something to stumble over. They don't get it. And that's where we cry out and say, Lord, help me understand. And for others, to rise. Because we need to put our faith in him. A very famous, or not famous, but to be called children of God. When we put our faith in Christ and what he did, that is when we get to be called children of God. It's very popular to say, oh, you know, we're all God's children. God does love us all. He loves every one of us so much that he sent his son. This Christmas is that. That's how much God loves us, this rescue mission. That's how much he loves us, that he's going to do it all. He's going to do it all. In John 1, 9 through 13, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. This is a Christmas present. Okay, the Christ coming, but we need to open it. You've heard that many times. We leave the best gift unopened. Christ has come, but on our hearts, we need to say, yes, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming and rescuing me. Because on our own, we can't do it. It's not going to happen. He did it all. That is the best part of Christmas. You know what the best part of Christmas is? Easter. The best part of Christmas is Easter. That's why he came. He came for Easter. He came to take our sin on his shoulders, on himself, that the righteousness of God, that we would be justified. God's wrath will be fulfilled on him. And then in exchange, we get his righteousness. And then on Easter, he defeated death. That's crushing the head of the serpent, where he defeated death. Right there, Satan's head crushed, where Christ defeated death and rose again. That's the purpose of it. That's why. But we need to make a decision. We need to say, yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. I need help, just like Simeon did. I need help. And the other one was Anna. Back to Luke. It's in here somewhere. There she is. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She also, like Simeon, was awaiting God's Messiah. But for her, it wasn't for comfort. It was for redemption. For her, she knew why. It was for that forgiveness. It was the redemption. And Simeon saw that as well. But it was for the redemption. That's what Anna was waiting for, the forgiveness, the deliverance from her sin. Which is why he came. And then the third and final advent coming is this eagerness that Simeon had, that Anna had, that Israel had for this coming Messiah, this anticipation. We should have that now. We have that same anticipation, only it isn't, we definitely look back in gratitude and in love and faith for what Christ did. But there's also a looking forward that we have as well. We are looking forward as they were, but we are looking forward to Christ's return. Because the Bible says he's coming back. And he's not coming back, as Lucy says, a little bitty baby. He's coming back from the sky and every eye will see. And at that point, it is not the time to choose sides. At that point, it is going to be revealed whose side we were on at that point. So we should eagerly look forward to him, eagerly look forward to heaven. Our faith is, it's looking back so we can look forward. We look back in order that we can look forward to our forgiveness, to eternity with him, all because of what he has done. And I will read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Our hearts are ever forward. Set our hearts and minds on things to come, not just here. Because the whole reason for what he did is for eternity. And I'll close with 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who walk, for those who love him. So, three meanings to Advent. As God's people did before, looking forward to the coming Messiah. And he came to save us. I have seen your salvation. And he stands and he knocks at the door to come into our hearts right now. And then he also, we look forward to him coming again. But let's not this season, I love what Bill said about first time experience, right, Bill? This could be the first time. This could be the first time that the baby leaves the manger scene and comes into our hearts. It's not too late. It is not too late. It's why he came. It's why the angels rejoice. It's why we sing. It's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. God, we thank you that we mess up, but Lord, you've done it all. You entered your creation. You took our sin upon yourself, Lord, on the cross. And then you defeated death. Lord, you kept your promise. You kept that promise you made immediately after the fall in your Son. So, Lord, help us to, if we've never done that, to put our faith in what you have done right now, to admit that we need help. We need a Savior. We need to be saved. And you've done it all, Lord. You did it all on Easter when you took our sin upon yourself and rose again and defeated death. God, help us to look forward to the eternity that we now have because of that. Lord, it's forever. Fellowship with you forever, all because of what you have done. We thank you for that. Bless us the rest of the season, the next few days, with our families. Keep us safe, that we would rejoice, Lord, in all that you have done 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen.